Welcome to the Avance Podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Nick. And I'm hoping that it didn't just say, I'm just Nick, and then Dan's cut out. Because
right.
Arizona's been screwing with us. Yes. I'll tell you. Well, how are you, Dan?
Oh, pretty good. Another sunny week down here. It's quite nice. I don't want to come back. I have to come back in 2 weeks. I don't want to.
Well, okay, fine. The rest of us don't miss you. Whatever. Just stay down there.
I miss you. I would just rather have you come here.
I was laughing because if you keep up on the car news, Jay Leno put out a Jay Leno's Garage about BAC monos this week. And as you've listened to the show, Dan's a big fan of that. And I literally sent it to him. He's like, I was just about to watch this. I'm like, we're connected.
Yeah, and it just made me want one even more. I don't want one for $300,000 to $400,000, but it makes me want a Gen 2 for 150-ish, which even is that is still a lot. But man, it's
you don't want
it's
the funny. R or whatever it is. Yeah.
No, actually, I don't. I wouldn't get one even if I was going to spend the money, because I want the softer suspension and I want the wider gear ratios, things like that for the street. And I want to use mine. And yeah, it just made me want one so much more. Listen to them talk about it and how basically, moving from a motorcycle to the street. And that's 100% me. I don't want another crotch rocket. I don't want another street bike. I want that. I want the closest thing I can get to that. But I'm also in my 40s and don't want to be hunched over and want the safety of the cage. And yeah, it's pretty sweet.
The illness that's creeping into me, and I think it's my age. And this will not happen to those who are listening to this, aka my mom and people like that. These new big large Harleys, like, look extremely comfortable and extremely fun. I would probably get over it the minute I bought one, and I'm also not going to pay what the price of a small, Japanese sports car for it, $30,000. But I, for some reason, YouTube has been pointing me in the direction of people taking delivery of the new, it's the big bad Harley, and I don't know what it is. And it's
some
just
big bagger. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that would be so nice. Like,
I've ridden a few over the years, and I always come back to the same point of you get to a point, at least for me, and this is my only experience. A lot of people love baggers and big bikes and more power to them. But I'm always at the point like, I kind of just rather be in a convertible at that point.
I think so. But I have to preface this. I've never ridden one. But it's just, it looks entertaining to me. I don't know why. But it's not going to happen. I'm going to stick with my Monkey, and I'm going to stick with my 450, which I was hoping to get out this week. But it has now been raining sideways all of a sudden. So. Yeah. And I mean, you don't go out on a dirt bike to get dirty. So I don't want to get wet and dirty.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I was, this is a neat little fact. So you know who Zach Brown is, right? Not the musician, but the gentleman that runs the McLaren F1 team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. I was like, yeah, the singer.
So there was an article that came out this week, and it came out a little bit. He, when he was 13, was on Teenage Wheel of Fortune. And he won a couple of watches on there by playing Wheel of Fortune. And he sold the watches. And that's how he bought himself go-kart lessons and started go-karting. And then that's how he ended up with his $120 million fortune in running McLaren F1. And the fact that's how he got into cars.
That's crazy.
Isn't that cool though? Yeah. Yeah.
What a cool story.
I'll send you the link. But there's like a YouTube video and stuff like that. But kind of an interesting little, fun fact. So,
yeah, that is cool. Let's jump into our Carter Automotive Group tip of the week before we get started with our guest. So I just, we've talked a lot about trailering, and since I just got the truck, obviously I bought it for trailering, and I had to talk a few episodes back about how I on the way down here, we actually had to stop and adjust the load a couple times, in the trailer with the Audi in there. And just because the Raptor is so soft sprung, it's more susceptible to sway, because the trailer will move a bunch more, obviously softer suspension. Suspension moves more, and with a trailer, with the weight on the tongue of the trailer or on the hitch, it's bouncing the rear end a little more. It wasn't too bad. It was manageable, but it was much more important and much more picky about where we had the weight in the trailer. And I never told anybody what the actual rule of how you like load a trailer is. And people get this wrong all the time, especially because U-Haul, you pick up a trailer and they're like, good luck. That's the instruction they give you. Here's a trailer. Good luck. Load it with, whatever you want. And, best of luck to you. It's 60-40. You want 60% of the weight in front of the axles and 40% behind it. And the reason it's 60-40 and not 50-50 is because 10% of the weight is adjusted by the tongue. So you want about 10% of the trailer weight on the tongue weight, up to like 10 to 15%. And it's a little hard to eyeball sometimes. If you have a single axle trailer, you can actually get it pretty close just by moving the loader and watching how the trailer moves and watching how the truck reacts. It gets harder as you go to a double and a triple axle. And on the plus side, it gets less picky as you go to a double and a triple axle trailer. That said, you can get specialized hitches for this. There's one called WaySafe, actually, a brand out there. I don't actually run one of these, but I do recommend them. They're still a very good hitch. I run a shocker hitch, which is made to take the compression and the bounce out of the trailer. But it'll actually tell you the load. It has a scale built onto the hitch, and you can watch it go up and down, and you can get it perfect. Now, obviously, the best thing to do is adjust your trailer properly with that load of 60-40. Sometimes you can't, depending on your load, and this is where an adjustable hitch really comes in handy. The height of the hitch, obviously, can help position the load because it's a, you know, it's a seesaw. It's like, you know, and so as you go higher, you can move the weight of that load backwards on the trailer with gravity. So anyway, 60-40 is all I wanted to get at. Watch some YouTube videos if you're carrying an awkward load. Like I said, sometimes like a tractor, for example, can have a really, really unbalanced load, heavy equipment that only fits in a certain way on a trailer, things like that. It can get a little tricky. And so that's when you, yeah, take your time to watch the videos, read the instructions, because a swaying trailer is a disaster. And once they start whipping, I'm going to talk about that too. Once your trailer starts whipping, don't hit the brakes. You want to let off the gas and ride it out. Once the trailer comes down in speed enough, it will typically correct itself. But this is why if you're typically going to find sway in any trailer, the faster you go, it's going to be more susceptible to sway. And you will quickly find out by slowly raising your speed where your maximum speed is. And then you know that you're cut off. Usually you're fine even at highway speeds, but highway speeds in some states like Utah I'm going to next are 80 miles an hour. So that means it's getting, and you don't want to be in the way. And a lot of those roads, the more far out you go, don't have easy pullovers. So it is important to have your trailer weighted safely for higher speed. Now, I'm still not going to do 80 miles an hour with a double axle trailer and the R8 in the back of the new truck even. I'm probably going to keep it to around 70. One for mileage, because the faster you go, the much faster your mileage drops. But you definitely want to get your trailer weighted properly for highway speed. So anyway, that's your Carter tip of the week.
I was going to say, I remember watching videos. They weren't on YouTube at the time, like in driver's ed, they would talk about that. And it's like a little treadmill, and they would put the weight on the trailer, and you could see the reaction of how it worked. Yeah.
Yeah, back when we did driver's ed, they actually did talk about that stuff. They don't do that anymore, which is really, I mean, but barely anybody trailers anymore, unfortunately, but it's still really good to know. And I wish more people would look into that, at least then. It's just a good thing to know. It's a good thing to know as a driver how to load a trailer. Just saying.
Everybody drives wagons these days, so they don't need trailers. I know.
You could tow with a wagon, though. I could put, like, you know, an RS6 and tow an R8 with it. I think that's doable.
I think that's, I mean, you have the R8, so, I mean, all we got to do is find an RS6.
If only we had one.
Yeah, I know. Do we know anybody that would be dumb enough to let us do that?
I don't know. Justin Osmer, welcome to the show. Would you let us tow the R8 with your RS6?
I don't have the trail hitch package, unfortunately.
Oh, sure, guess, sure,
yeah,
sure.
Sorry
sure.
about
yeah.
that.
Other than that, he'd totally be okay with it.
Yeah, totally. Totally. When you were talking there, I was thinking about those treadmill videos where they show the wagon, you know, the truck towing, and then it just wobbles and flies off.
Flies away.
Yeah, towing terrifies me. I'm amazed.
Well, I think Dan brought up the terrifying fact. It doesn't terrify me. I think I've learned enough from it, and I've done enough stupid things. It's the people that walk into the U-Haul, and they hook their car up to the back of their giant 18-foot U-Haul, and they're like, I'm going to be fine.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God.
Yeah. Scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can attest to those trailers, though, because I had maximum loaded the weight of the Raptor and the U-Haul trailer when I was hauling those pavers. Maximized it, and I intentionally did a load at like 4 a.m. because I didn't want anybody in front of me. It probably, and I may have been over the limit, if I'm being honest. It probably tripled my stopping distance, which you can imagine is really great in a Raptor to begin with. So
yeah,
it's not fun, and because those, and that just has surge brakes on it. The trailer I have now, of course, has nice electronic brakes that work really well. So it's, but man, I was just picturing, I'm like, they just let me do this. They didn't tell me anything. I did my own research. But I can imagine somebody coming in doing the exact same thing and having no knowledge of towing a trailer. I'm like, this is a disaster.
I'll be fine. This will stop eventually. Yeah. Justin, yeah. We haven't talked to you in a long time. How have you been?
It's been a while, you guys. Great to see
you. I think it was probably, it was still Drivers Club at the time, I think.
Yeah.
That long ago? Yeah.
It may have been. May have been the last time we chatted. Yeah.
Many moons. Yeah. Yeah.
Catching you guys up on all my travels and adventures.
Yeah. I mean, the rough life you were having and driving that beautiful RS6 Avant around. And,
yeah, doing Route 66.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Just feels like yesterday, but that was already 2021. But yeah, it was incredible experience. But yeah, just been running my consulting business, Turning Point Consulting, focus on automotive marketing and events, and trying to get some road trips in here and there. You know, instead of taking business flights, I take business drives, go down to LA and back, you know, take a couple extra days because I have that flexibility. So enjoy that. And I've been keeping busy with that and trying to keep my finger in the car world as much as I can here locally. And that's kind of how this all came to be, which we're going to get to, I'm sure, when Adam called me up, Adam of Avance, and said, "Hey, I've got this Wagon Fest thing going. Would love your help." So, exciting stuff. Yeah.
Good luck with that. That's how this started. Like many, many years ago, he called us and said, "I'm thinking about starting Avance," and now look where we are. Right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, so I don't think you could have picked any more perfect for Wagon Fest, that's for sure. Kind of the wagon ambassador of Wagon Wednesday, and now Wagon Fest taking over that. I'm excited to see what you'll do with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, happy to tell you guys more about it. Yeah, I think it was just before the holidays. I was at an Avance event, and I think that's the last place I saw you guys. And then Adam was there, Chrissy was there, you know, the Avance crew. And they sort of dropped a hint that they wanted to talk to me about Wagon Fest. My ears perked up, and roll around to the new year. Adam said, "Hey, Avance is getting so big and so busy, I can't put the effort I want to into Wagon Fest. Would you be interested in helping me manage the two existing events, the Pacific Northwest event and then the LA event, but then also help us grow and add more markets so we can really start to turn this into a thing?" And said, "Sure. I've got the capacity in my, in my consulting right now, and a good passion project. So why not?" So jumped on and been helping him with that. So for those who don't know, it's Wagon Fest has been going on. This will be the 7th year in the Pacific Northwest, and it's really just a celebration of all things wagons, all makes, all models, all eras. We like to say it's the largest station wagon gathering in the universe. Not sure we can fact check that, but, you know, it's a pretty big group. We were close to 300 cars, I think, at the last event down at the LeMay Museum last year, which was the Pacific Northwest. And then as Avance has continued to grow, Adam wanted to get Wagon Fest going in some of those other markets. And so they launched LA last year down at the Peterson Museum. Which, just a quick plug for the Peterson, if you still haven't been, I imagine most of our listeners have, but if you haven't been, it is absolutely worth a day there. It's a tremendous place. And they do a lot of great events, and we were fortunate enough to be one of theirs last year and are back with them again this year. So we've got those two events, and then, wanted to grow to some additional markets. So I'm happy to drop some news with you guys today. We're expanding to Portland. Portland International Raceway. We're going to be there this summer. More details to come, but we're going to be in Portland, so we're excited about that. And then a little unexpected, we're going to go to Houston, Texas, with our friends, the Shop Club, down in SoTo. We all know Matt Bell and what they do. You know, they've expanded to Dallas, and they're just about to open their Houston location. And what's great about their Houston location is they got a gigantic parking lot right next to the building. So we thought, why not give that a run? So we're going to go to Houston in the fall. So we'll be down there in the October timeframe. So those are the two new markets. We may have another one coming on here, a fifth one, but we're still kind of working through that. But the big news is to officially announce the SoCal event, the LA event for Wagon Fest. Tickets are available now. If you want to be sneaky and hit the Avance event page, you can find it buried in there. June 23rd is a Sunday down at Peterson, and that'll be our first Wagon Fest of the season. We've got Portland will be in July, and Pacific Northwest will be September, and then Houston will be October. So that's kind of how we're looking schedule-wise, and pretty excited about it. Got some cool programming. Some new sponsors are coming on board. We've secured Michelin as one of our sponsors for the SoCal event. We've got some other partners lined up or lining up that we'll announce in time here. And, you know, any of our listeners who manage a company or a business that would like to be involved in wagons, feel free to give us a call. We're open to ideas and would love to have more people join us formally. But yeah, that's kind of the big news drop for you on what we're doing with Wagon Fest.
More events is good, especially for wagons. You know, we love wagons. You should hit up our friends at S-Tech for to get on board with that. They got, you know, wagons are big cars to cover. It's the perfect thing for S-Tech. So just saying,
yes.
They're about to do, I'm going to go exhaust the size of their rolls on my new truck. So we'll see.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you do, yeah. How many miles do you have on your RS6 now from all this driving?
Well, it's funny, you know, I did the Route 66 was like 5,700 miles total, right?
Yeah.
And then a bunch of LA back and forth. You'd think I have a lot more miles than I actually do. I just rolled over 28,000.
That's still pretty good.
So
that's a lot of miles still. I mean, that's a lot of enjoyable miles too.
I mean, yeah, it's 21, isn't it? Yeah.
It's been great. Yeah, it's a 21. I picked it up in December of 2020.
Right. Yeah, I was gonna say.
Ordered it 2 days before the pandemic lockdown in March of 2020. And so it was a little bit delayed. Originally, it was supposed to come in August, but with the plant shut down, all that other stuff, it got pushed out. So, yeah, picked it up December 2020 and immediately started plotting the trip with it. So
nice.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's been great.
Well, it's a good thing you have our Michelin sponsor, 15% off for Avance members. That's back. BF Goodrich, too. Probably not the best choice for the RS6, maybe. I guess they do have a good sport tire. I was going to say the Michelin's. Yeah. Michelin's the tire of choice for us.
Yeah, the Pilot Sports are amazing. One of my trips down, I had those installed and drove home with them, and just incredible tires. And thanks for mentioning that discount. Yeah, that's a great Avance benefit, and that will certainly be promoted as part of the Michelin experience we'll have at Wagon Fest in SoCal.
I want to talk to them still, like about because Michelin's the I was. Listening, reading more and more into the Michelin star system, which is how they had a Michelin a long time ago. The quick history is they had a little pamphlet they gave out to encourage people to buy tires because people were driving more and they wanted to encourage people to go to destinations. So they started this Michelin guidebook for restaurants because it was French and that was a very a big part of the culture is food. And so, but Michelin star now, I'm like, I feel like they've kind of lost their way for a Michelin name because every Michelin star restaurant has no damn parking. I'm just saying. So, and they're all in like big cities where you can't really drive. And there's a lot of great destination restaurants. So I'm just saying if they want people to drive, they should encourage the Michelin star system to be drivable locations. Just my thoughts.
Are you thinking about starting the Dan Star system? You can eat in your car, out of your car, next to your car, where else?
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough.
Anyway.
Justin, I do want to talk about, I was laughing I was laughing when the advertisement went up for Wagon Fest Pacific Northwest and it said the largest gathering of grocery getters in the universe is coming, which I think is a great title. But, Dan and I think, was it 2 years ago or a year ago, Dan, that we were at Wagon Fest at Dirtfish?
2 years ago, I think it was.
Yeah, 2 years ago. Yeah. And I mean, it was an absolute so much fun to see that many cars. I mean, you know, as car people, we are out on the road. We're always looking for other stars, especially in this area. You know, I mean, still when RS6 Avant passes me, I'm still kind of drooling on my windows, which is great from my Subaru wagon, just so we're clear. some of the eclectic stuff that we've seen out there, I mean, Audis and Volvos, and I mean, even some old school Subarus. I mean, you don't think about some of the cars that come out. Like, what are you kind of looking for cars? I know our criteria is if it's a wagon, if it's short, long, but what are you looking for? I mean, are there any cars you're looking for to come to Wagon Fest, either here or Portland or LA?
Well, of course. I mean, honestly, it's all eras, you know, all makes and models. Of course, the new stuff is cool and exciting. And, you know, last year at LeMay, I think we had 14 RS6s, something like that.
Dang.
Which is a little ridiculous, but kind of fun at the same time. But at the same time, you know, you get those gigantic Fords and Chryslers and some of those cars from the 50s and the 60s that weigh, you know, 10 tons and just are incredible machines with the huge big back doors that open and, you know, the whole kitchen slides out of the back, the little picnic table and all that stuff. So, I mean, really, if you've got a wagon and you love it, we'd love to see you there. I mean, there's definitely some folks that spend a lot more time making sort of show vehicles or show cars, and welcome those too. But also welcome those that are daily driven or adventure driven or what have you. I've got a pretty loose definition of wagon in my mind. If it hauls stuff and it's got sort of a hatchback, long back on it, it's a wagon. You know, shooting brake. There's all sorts of arguments about are shooting brakes wagons or not. In my book, they are. A lot of the purists say they're not. You know, whatever. We had a shooting brake Rolls Royce out at Wagon Wednesday last year, and there was a massive debate about that, about the Ferrari, you know, FF. Is that right? The FF, the one with the one FF.
And what was the other one that it was?
Aston Martin Zagato, like
the Zagato's kind of the famous one, the coach belt. Yeah. So, you know, those are it's fun conversations and debates. But for me, it's, you know, if there's a back hatch on it and you can throw stuff in it, it's a wagon. And you know, that whole sort of long roof look, the aesthetic, the functionality, the practicality, you know, it's a little bit of a niche, but there's a lot of people who love them. And then there's a lot of people just have them for the pure practicality of them and don't even realize that a bunch of people love them.
Well, I mean, we come from a generation where there were wagons where children sat facing the rear in front of a giant tailgate that either swung out or swung down. And I mean, you could make faces at the people behind you, and you had a giant footwell to sit in. I mean, were those Chevys or what was that?
Well, there were Chevys, there were Volvos. I mean, that's kind of where my wagon affliction started, I think. I need to give my dad credit or blame for that, because he got remarried, had some younger kids, and got in a bit of a car crisis. And so he ended up getting a Volvo 850 turbo wagon. You know, because he's like, well, that's cool. I can do a turbo wagon. You know,
he late would ride, 80s,
silver turbo, and it had the turbo gauge on the dash and the whole thing. And so me, high schooler, I was like, oh, that sounds good. So I would hoon that thing around all the time. Had a great time with that car, and that, I think, it planted in my mind at least the seed that wagons are kind of cool. But it had the jump seat in the back, and my little sisters would climb back there and loved waving at people as we drove down the street, you know, kind of thing. So, I don't know which manufacturer had the first rear-facing jump seat, but I know Volvo did them, Mercedes did them, and certainly the older Chevys, and I think some of the Fords had them too.
And if you were crazy in Australia, you were in the Subaru Brat with jump seats in the back, but that was more of a truck.
So,
that'll start another debate.
Another debate for sure.
Yeah.
I think my favorite wagon that I've come across is the Griot's 3 Series M3 wagon. Of all the wagons I've seen, that one just like blows my mind every time I see it. It's so freaking cool.
Yeah. Custom built. Those are pretty sweet.
I think as Americans, we all wish that BMW would still, I mean, there's a new one now, bring the M3 and M4 wagons over here.
Yes.
Because I think that's, you know, especially the new M3 wagon, which is just incredible. I mean, I think, and I'm hoping, America's made it a loud enough noise with Audi getting the RS6 Avant over here that maybe we could get the M3, and maybe someday, you know, some of the
RS3 is still The RS3 Avant is still the only car on the market I would pay ADM for. I will walk away from everything, but that is the one car I want so bad because it's the right size and perfect it's size. So tunable. It's like I can make that into the perfect road trip car. Yep. And I fight that with the RS6 is it's a little bigger than I want. It can still do everything I want. I'm very well aware that the car will do what I want, but I want something big. A little bit smaller.
Yeah, it's big. I totally agree with you. The RS4 too would be on my list.
Yeah.
Would love that. But to your point, Nick, the M3 Touring looks incredible. There's a lot of people yelling for it, but I don't know. There's always some excuse about crash tests and legalization and cross-platform
It probably won't happen. I was a big proponent. I still, BMW made an M5 wagon. I mean, that was, and it was a stick, which would have been really, really fun to see. But, I think there's enough, obviously, craftsmen over here. People have done it. I mean, people have taken a ton of the E46, the 325s and turned them, put the M fenders on them and things like that and put the M engines and sort of made their own, and there are some, in the bellies of all these car companies, there are some of these fun cars. There's even an M3 truck, I think, now from I've seen photos truck. In the BMW stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, and now we got the glorious 25-year rule, too. So there's a lot of great 3-series wagons coming over from Japan and Europe. Some are, right-hand drive, if you can handle that. But some cool stuff cropping up on Bring a Trailer and Cars and Bids and other places. It's been fun to track that stuff for sure. A lot of cool stuff.
We should talk about that a little. So there's a lot of wagons that wagons are a popular collector car. They always have been performance wagons, I should say, especially. Yeah. And there are a lot of them. I think people forget them to history until they start seeing it pop up again. But I mean, the CTSV wagon, of course. Yep. I mean, you kind of
who would drive one of those?
Yeah, I remember when it first came out. Jay Leno had one on his show, and he immediately said, "This is probably the best investment in GM you can buy in the last 50 years." Because it was like this is because you could get it in a stick, and it's like instant collector car status because they didn't make enough of them. And if you could get one without a sunroof or and with the sport seats and with a manual, you basically had like this amazing wagon. There's been a lot of powerful wagons out there. I did a little research for the show because I was like, how many of these have I just forgot about? And Dodge Magnum SRT8, that body hasn't aged very well.
But I'm glad you mentioned that. Car. Yeah, those were pretty sweet at the time, man. Just hauling
Audi back. RS2 Avant. You can start. We're starting. There is those are coming around with the 25-year rule. I think they already have, so you can pick up RS2 Avant. Yeah, and then
those are crazy. The partnership with Porsche. It's essentially a Porsche wagon with an Audi badge on it. It's crazy.
Badass car.
Yeah.
Alpina B5. I have to call Peter and say he needs to get one of those because famously you talk in BMWs, Alpina B5 wagon, leave it to Alpina. And they did a B3 touring as well. So Alpina's been no hand to, or not shy of tuners. You mentioned the FF, but also the GTC4 Lusso. Not the predecessor, that's the after the FF was the GTC4 Lusso, right, Nick?
Yeah, I think that's the one I was thinking of. Yeah,
it was, yeah.
GT4.
Yeah. Sorry, I was starting to research something, and then you threw me a question. But yes, you're correct.
And then I remember this one, the Brabus Mercedes C63 wagon. The C63 wagon in itself is a badass vehicle, to say the least. Not real cheap on gas, but a just beast of a car. And Brabus turned it up to 11 with that thing. So it's like if you're looking for wagons, there are plenty out there that are very, very cool. And a lot of them are in the Northwest. So
yes. And those AMG C63s are, I think they're just gorgeous. Unfortunately, Mercedes, I think last year was the last model year that they have them in the U.S. A friend of mine mentioned that he could still build one on the website, but I'm not sure what the status of actually being able to buy those are new. And the used ones have incredible resale right now. So those continue to do well. What was crazy to me was there was one at Park Place I went to look at one day with the RS6 and parked next to it. And just, again, to your point, Dan, how big. The RS6 is just so much wider and a little angrier looking too, but just so much wider. I'm like, oh my God, this car is so big. It's a bit of a pig. But yeah, there's some great wagons out there. I got the itch a few months back and was bidding on a 1980 Benz 300 TD wagon on Bring a Trailer. And it went out of my range, but I was like, God, those are, you know, those things will run forever. They're just kind of cool old wagons. But yeah, I have appreciation for kind of all of them. You know, the American, love some of the older American ones. Wish I could remember the model of the one that was at Wagon Fest last year here in Pacific Northwest. But I saw it at, I think it's a Lincoln. And I saw it at the Issaquah Father's Day car show. And I was like, oh man, this thing is amazing. You know, single family owned, kind of run through the generations. Huge big bench, you know, front seat, no rest, armrests, no headrests, no, you know, total, yeah, you know, death trap, but so cool. So cool. And he showed up at the event at LeMay last year. So yeah, there's some really cool wagons out there. And one of the cool things about the SoCal event with the Peterson is their curator is helping us build out a little history of the wagon. So part of our promotion on social media leading up to the show is going to be sort of little capsules of the history of the wagon and some cool old imagery and just a little bit of history for folks around how the wagons came to be and all of that. So looking forward to doing that too.
Well, one thing, you guys, I mean, maybe Dan hasn't finished his list, but the one that was big on my list, you guys were going down the route, was the AMG E63S wagon that, you know, 627 mm-hmm. horsepower, 0-60, and, you know, what, I think 3.4 seconds, and, you know, like, it's ridiculous. I remember seeing one of those for the first time at Car Week, and I was just blown away. Like, you talk about a large car, but yeah, Mercedes listened, though. You know, they brought their mean-looking car, and, I mean, I think you can still get them with the new front end and things like that. I was looking on the website, but, you know, For the minor price of $121,000 starting, just so
right,
yeah.
But there's some great stuff out there, and a lot of it is so easy to, you know, add to. You know, like the whole Subaru crew. You know, as you well know, Nick. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff you can do to Subaru wagons. A lot of great stuff.
There's a lot of bad stuff wagons too. Just so we're clear, there's a lot of really bad stuff. Yes. You can, yes. I will say this, that right off the bat.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, did Mitsubishi ever make a wagon?
Yeah. Yeah. There was one up on Bring a Trailer actually a couple weeks ago, Japanese market one. But yeah, they did a Lancer. I don't think it was officially the Evo, but it was the Lancer style wagon, very boxy looking. But yeah, that was a wagon. There was a Acura Legend wagon. There was, you know, a lot of Toyota Camry wagon. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, attempts at just kind of adding wagons to the offering. I think the shame is there's so many, there used, you know, the U.S. I think used to lead in wagons availability. And now Europe, I think, has taken the lead in that regard. And there's so many great cars, like we were talking about the BMW earlier, that are only available in Europe that aren't here anymore. Because we're such an SUV crazed market, people I don't think have realized they don't really need the SUV. Just get a nice wagon. If you're worried about hauling stuff, just get an all-wheel drive wagon. You'll be just fine.
But I have a tinfoil like hat conspiracy on that. And
all that stuff, you know.
But go for it, Dan. I know you want to say it. Yeah,
I can't. Well, go ahead.
I was saying my tinfoil hat conspiracy is that if you convince people to buy SUVs, then the roads can get really, really bad, and they can just keep working on them forever. But if they buy sports cars and cars with smaller wheels and tires, they'll get too much damage. So if we can get everybody in SUVs, we can keep damaging the roads, keep using all the gas, and we have a cyclical earning. So it's a great way to make money is to never cure.
The road industrial complex.
And gas.
What did I tell you about saying the quiet part out loud?
So there's no money in the cure. So if we can just keep making it worse and make people wanting to make it worse, then we can keep getting paid to fix it.
Well, there's so much interesting. I mean, I don't want to get too far off topic, which is easy with you two, but the electric cars too, and the weight to the lick. I mean, there's all these fascinating stories coming out now about the, maybe you guys have heard these, about the parking garages in Europe that are having seismic issues because they can't hold the load of these heavy electric cars because they were built in the 1800s and don't have the capacity to hold the cars. The roads are going to start suffering. You know, the asphalt concrete is not made to handle that on a lot of the side roads and stuff. So it's going to be interesting here where how we move this thing forward.
Yeah, my Raptor weighs less than a Rivian. Or when I had it, it weighs, I think 400 or 500 pounds less than a Rivian. And that's my Raptor, which is physically twice the size almost. And my new truck is like just a little over 8,000 pounds. And it's still like 1,000 pounds less than the Hummer.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Dan and I were talking about that a few episodes back, when, especially the Rivians, and the fact that the highway barriers are not able to stop
that
some
too.
Of these cars because they're so heavy. Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know,
it's crazy.
It's not the wagon's fault, just so we're clear. Always buy wagons. SUVs are the issue. What else?
Well, it's one of those
SUVs and electric cars.
Yeah. It's one of those things, kind of like the demise of the manual stick shift, too. Like, if people aren't buying this stuff, then the manufacturers aren't incented to build them and send them here. So, you know, I think if there's a wagon out there, go buy one. Show them that we want them. Show them that we love them. There's some great stuff out there that you can buy new, and then there's certainly plenty of great used stuff out there too.
So, I mean, obviously we know Wagon Fest is a great place to get together and talk to other wagon owners, but what other things are there going to be there? Like, are you guys going to have booths and stuff like that and events and awards and things like that?
We're just at the early stages of kind of announcing the schedule and announcing our dates. We'll have a lot more info to come, but planning to have some really cool programming, some great new sponsors on board. You know, sort of wagon focused or wagon themed content at the events. Going to probably work with our new good friend Lean Customs to do some cool wagon pins that will only be available at the event. You know, other cool stuff to come. So, working on some cool show cars too that have either been made popular on social media or other means. The Peterson's got some cool wagons in their collection too, like the Echo One Ghostbusters wagon and some other stuff that we're, you know, going to roll out. So there should be some fun stuff to see. And the great thing about the SoCal event is anybody who buys a ticket and brings a car can get into the museum for free. So it's part of the package. And same for the Pacific Northwest. If you come down to the LeMay, you get a pass to go through the LeMay for the day as well. So we're trying to do the same thing with the other events too, that, you know, your ticket gets you more than just into Wagon Fest. It gets you into other things going on at the venue. So there'll be some cool stuff happening at PIR when we're there that we can talk about soon. There'll be some great stuff up and down in Houston too that we're working on. So there'll be a lot of good stuff happening for folks. And we'll probably put together some drive routes too. Maybe a knock on your door, Dan, help us with some of that. But if folks want to take some, you know, longer ways to the venues, you know, some recommended drives before or after, that kind of stuff. So working on all that right now.
We know enough collectors. Somebody has to own a covered wagon, right? I mean, come on. That's got to be a thing.
Yes.
That would be really cool, actually.
Yes.
Somebody pulls up in an actual wagon.
Trailer and bring an actual wagon.
Yeah. Well, on my Route 66 trip, we were in, I think it was probably Texas, so we came across the world's largest covered wagon, of course. Had to get a picture next to that.
Wagon next to wagon, yeah.
Covered wagon would be pretty funny.
It'd be fun. You're getting a bunch of pissed off radio flyer collectors.
Yes.
Yes. This is bullshit.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, well, all of those people had plastic wagons. Those of us that had real radio flyers that were metal. And really couldn't steer.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Back in the day. Oh, the good old days. I can't. Can't wait to see. I think that's so great. Especially Houston. I think we're starting to expand across the country, you know, getting bigger and bigger, and I think it's going to be an opportunity. I've several friends and things like that that know about Avance, and they're on the other East Coast, and they always want to be partners. You know, and obviously they can become members, but like as we work our way across the United States, I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, we've got some great leads on some opportunities out past Texas, so we're definitely talking about that, working that, trying to build out sort of a 2-year, 3-year plan where we just sort of continue to expand what Wagon Fest can be and bring it to more markets. Saw tremendous success here in the Northwest and great turnout last year down in LA for its first year. You know, there's over 200 cars at that event. So hoping to, you know, replicate that and grow that in all these new markets that we're rolling to. And have a lot of great stuff planned.
The nice thing about the new markets is the new cultures too, because as you get out into Texas and things like that, you're going to find just different crowds. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what shows up. California too, just because, I mean, I've noticed a lot in the Pacific Northwest, there's a lot of European and then a lot of American. And then a lot of Subarus, because that's just kind of our demographic. It's just, you know, the Subaru is the perfect car for the Pacific Northwest if you're an outdoors person. And and we have a lot of older guys with hot rod wagons, and we have a lot of European tuner fans up here. Now in California, I'm hoping to see some Mexican influence down there with their lowriders, things like that. Like, that's a huge scene down there. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff that gets brought in, and I love seeing that mix.
Well, there were a lot of surfboards last year too.
Yeah, exactly. Surf cars, things like that.
Yeah,
like,
we had Volkswagen fastbacks down there last year with surfboards sticking out of the back of them and stuff. So yeah, that's that surf culture, car culture down in California is pretty rich. So there's a lot of great opportunity there for sure. And
A Woody. That's what I'm thinking about with Woody, the surfboard sticking out the back.
Yep, there you
Woody.
Go.
Yeah.
Yep,
okay.
Absolutely.
You know, Dan, you have reopened my mind. I haven't thought about the Dodge Magnum in I don't know how many years. I don't know the last time I saw one. Like, ever since you said that, I'm just like, oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the old school.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool wagons.
I'd even throw the Ford Flex in there as a wagon. I know some people don't consider that a wagon, but I think those are pretty – the long roof on that was pretty tremendous. So it was a
Now you're in a cool car. You know, it's another cool hot wagon is the Forester with the 2.5 RS, the 2.5 engine turbo. It's basically an STI. It really is. It's an STI with a full body wagon. Yeah. So if you guys, I mean, and there, people are realizing very quickly that those cars are very cool, because I've looked just for the fun of it, because I'm always looking for cars online, and those have gone up in value a lot. Those are in the mid 20s, and I'm like, they were like that new. It just didn't change.
Yeah.
So
I think you're going down a slippery slope with the Ford Flex. Next thing you're going to end up with is PT Cruisers. Just be careful.
Hey, they made a turbo. Well,
Know. Well, you know why I like to take shots at PT Cruisers. He knows. He'll listen.
Well, I really don't have anything against Chevy. Them, what was it?
Oh, HHR or the HH. What? Yeah.
That was a wagon.
Oh, those are terrible.
Okay, but here's the thing. That car as a four-door car sucked, but when it was a panel car, like old school, and they painted them up, that it was kind of cool. But I think you're right. I think this opens up so much interpretation. I think it's kind of fun. I think it's, you know, there's so many, and I'll be interested to see when we post this episode, cars that we didn't even think of. That's always the fun part, is like people going, well, what about this? And I'm like, like just the Magnum, just like, you know,
So much great stuff out there, and so many eras too. You know, it goes back so far too. There's just so much cool older stuff too. That's really pretty awesome. That's exciting, and you know, I got a little taste of that just doing my Wagon Wednesday thing too. Like, just some of the stuff that comes out of nowhere here in the Northwest that you don't expect, and it's just fun to see out there. And that was just something that started during COVID, where I was like, hey, there's this hashtag Wagon Wednesday. Why don't we get together in a parking lot and talk about our wagons? And so we did that in 2021, started doing that at the shop, and did that all the whole year. And then the next year did it at Hagerty Drivers Club, whatever it's called now.
It's Drivers Club again. New owners.
I think it's back to the Drivers Club as of this Drivers week. Club,
is it?
They do a lot of events. They're actually way more active than I expected. They've got a good thing started there, so I have high hopes for them. We'll be recording there pretty soon, and it's nice to see that they are busy. So I'm glad to see that.
Yeah, that's good. Speaking of that, been able to weather all their transitions.
Yeah, They have one of the coolest wagons ever, and that's Bruce Levin's old Studebaker that Dante owns now. That green one, one of the most beautiful wagons I've ever seen. And then, I mean, oh man, that thing's just perfect, like all of Bruce Levin's cars were. Yeah. But I'm glad to see it's still alive.
Yeah, they rolled that out. Yeah, they rolled out that for us when we were there that one year. Yeah, and then last year we did, I rotated the locations and then truncated it. So we only did four months. So it was one Wednesday a month for 4 months. And that was great. We did the shop, the cut shop, Motofish, and then Triple X. Rest in peace, Triple X. But soon to be Burgermaster, I understand.
So that's they'll do well.
That's not a bad thing.
No, that'll continue. That will continue on and have much better hamburgers.
Yeah, I was going to say Triple X was good root beer in the end, and that's kind of it. Their food really went downhill. So I'm glad to see Burgermaster's moving in, see better food, and they welcome it. Burgermaster's always welcome. Car Culture, of course, being a drive-in. So I'm glad to see it's going into good hands.
It's a great venue. So. Yeah, so I'm working on my 2024 plan right now, but Wagon Fest is kind of taking the priority. So, but it's been the Wagon Wednesday thing's been just kind of fun, and got a good crew of people that clamor for it. So that's been fun.
Yeah, I've talked about it 100 times. What's Dax's car? The Buick? Is it
Roadmaster?
Roadmaster that he had. That's probably, if I had to have a big old school like 70s, 80s, that would be what I would have. That would be my wagon.
Speaking of the Caprice chassis, and it's, you know, so you get the full ladder frame, basically truck chassis lowered. That's a great, great platform for anybody doing a resto mod wagon. If you want, if you're into that,
and those things are Roadmasters
are very cool.
Those things are
gigantic, to say the least. Hope you're good with sheet metal. But it's right for a big swap. I mean, you could throw a 427 in there with room to spare.
Well, I think the rear of that thing is as wide as like a smart car or a Honda Fit. I mean, those back doors are so
big. You can get another car in the back.
Just insane.
Yeah.
I kind of want one on tracks.
The reason it made me I think about that is I was looking at the overhead photo that they took of LeMay last year. I was trying to jog my memory. I was like, and there was a white one with the white with the fake wood paneling, and I was like, oh, I remember that.
Yeah,
so, good times. Yeah,
yeah.
Excellent. Well, I mean, we're looking forward to this. Go ahead, Dan. Sorry,
I was going to say, if you got a wagon, you know what to do. You know, in all types of wagons, we talk a lot about performance wagons, but we like adventure wagons too. Obviously, Nick being an adventure wagon owner who actually uses his. So if you're into that, you're all welcome. We'd love to see you no matter where you're at, especially in the new places, come say hi. And if you're in an area where Avance isn't yet, it's still worth it to become a member, because just that tire deal alone will pay for your membership at 15% back, for Michelin and BF Goodrich. So, I mean, one set of BF Goodrich KO3s, if you're an off-road person, if you're, you know, a set of Pilot Super Sports or any kind of Pilot Sport tire, you're going to get your money back instantly, because I think my last set was $1,800. So that's over, what is that, $250 rebate almost coming back to you if you got that. Easily pay for your Avance membership with room to spare. So just saying, make sure you take advantage of that, members. Check us out at avance.com and sign up today. Chrissy will send you the nice care package, and that alone also makes it worth it. So
yeah, no kidding.
Lots of good reasons.
Well, when you were talking about the Michelin guidebooks too, I had to bring it up on my phone to remind me the official name of it. But if anybody's traveling to London and you love cars, look up the Michelin House. Highly recommend this. It's an old service station that Michelin owns and has the lot of the old Michelin Man, Babinda Man artwork in tile on the outside of the building. And then when you go inside, they have a little cafe, and they have these awesome espresso cups with little Michelin men on them. And it's a whole themed restaurant. And then upstairs is a restaurant with these gigantic old Michelin posters and all sorts of stuff. So highly recommend a visit to the Michelin House if you're ever in London. It's like a little taste of Michelin history and automotive love while you're traveling. But that came to my mind when you were talking about the guidebook. But yeah,
I also want to add to Dan's pitch about being an Avance member. The latest issue of the magazine came out this week, and they should be showing up in your mailbox. If you haven't gotten it yet, you will soon. But that's another great benefit being an Avance member. So,
yeah, those are becoming quite the hot collector's item. People are very desperate to complete their collections and asking you know, does anybody have this issue? I don't have this issue. It's kind of funny. I've seen they even popped up on eBay. People buying them. I think our friends at Park Place and Leather Tech have quite the, they have a lot of them there. If you're local to the east side, I'm not sure about the other locations, but in the Pacific Northwest, go visit those people if you needed a couple of back issues. They hold on to quite a few of them. They're always in the Park Place Auto Salon. So people read them like Bibles there. It's kind of funny. They're well used, but they have other ones there. So
yeah, for sure.
Excellent. Well, I mean, I guess, Justin, first of all, welcome to the team. We look forward to really, you know, talking with you in the future about Wagon Fest as it makes its way across the Wagon Fest across the country. You know, and obviously this year is going to be great between LA, Portland, Seattle, and Houston. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you have any questions, obviously you can reach out through the website to Avance. I think tickets aren't on sale yet, are they?
Well, the Eventbrite page actually went live today. But okay. We'll be doing sort of official big push, you know, next week or by the time this podcast drops, it'll be a lot easier to find. But if you go into the Avance events page right now, you can find a link to it, and we'll have more prominent links and more promo coming soon for sure. As we
tool up. Just Google Wagon Fest 2024, the Seattle event comes up. So I know that. Try that.
And then the other thing to mention too, if you're not following on social media, we changed the Instagram handle. So it's now Wagon Fest Official. So dial up Wagon Fest Official. We moved away from P&W Wagon Fest for obvious reasons. Help grow it a little bit. So follow us at Wagon Fest Official so you can stay on top of all the latest news. If you're down in LA or anywhere along the West Coast and want to come to LA, put June 23rd on your calendar and keep your eyes peeled for a link for the tickets. And we'd love to see you out at Wagon Fest. Thanks for having me, guys. This,
no problem. This episode comes out next week, but April 6th is the Weird and Wacky Car Show. I think there are still tickets available for that. So go on the website and get those. And then, you know, check out the Avance calendar. Like I said, we are really coming into the summer. The events are going to start, you know, really hopping off. You're going to hear it a lot from Dan and I. We'll be at some of the events when we can get there, because we always like to come out and talk to people and come up with new stories and find new guests. So,
great.
Yeah.
All right.
Love it.
Justin, again, welcome to the team. We can't wait to hear from more from you. But for this episode of the Avance podcast, as always, I'm Nick.
I'm Dan. And don't just get there. Enjoy the drive.